Welcome to the program God and Country, where we examine current events in the light of biblical exposition. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Psalm 122:6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Today's program is about Israel, but particularly the anti-Israel false teaching that is infecting the evangelical church in America. Now, before we get to the topic today, I need to review the situation in Israel and the ongoing battle between the Palestinians and the Israelis. This summer, on July 7th, Israel launched a military action against Hamas. Hamas is the Palestinian Islamic military organization that controls the Gaza Strip. The offensive was sparked by the murder of three Israeli soldiers and rockets being fired by Hamas into Israel. Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, was committed to going into Gaza to break the power of Hamas so there could be an extended period of calm and security. So Israel went in, destroyed Hamas's ammunitions, rocket launchers, uncovered and destroyed secret tunnels that Hamas had built into Israel, and went after Hamas's leadership. But let's go back even further in time to understand the situation. Currently, the Palestinian Arabs occupy two regions in Israel: the Gaza Strip, the ancient land of Philistines on the Mediterranean, and the West Bank of the Jordan. Not the east side of the Jordan, but the west side of the Jordan River, which is in the heart of old Israel. Now, additionally, many Arabs are Israeli citizens, and they live in the main part of Israel. About 21% of Israeli citizens are Arabs. Now, Israel as a land is very small, about the size of New Jersey, which is okay for a state, but very small for a country. Israel is about 10,000 square miles. Saudi Arabia is 830 times larger than Israel. Jordan is 3.6 times larger. Egypt is 386 times larger than Israel. And Syria is 8 times larger than Israel. So you see that the homeland for the Jews is nothing compared to Arab lands. It has been estimated that Israel is 1/650th of all Arab lands. And yet, Muslims still want to drive Israel into the sea and deny the Jews a homeland in Israel. And one of the greatest misconceptions out there is that the Arab-Israeli conflict is over land. It's not over land. The land is insignificant. It's over religious, ideological hatred toward the Jews. So that land for peace will not satisfy the Islamists. And anyone who thinks that a two-state solution will bring about peace is very naive. But here's the situation. At the beginning of the 20th century, the British controlled the region of Israel after the collapse of the Ottoman Empire. In 1948, through the UN, the British gave the land back to the Jews to establish a homeland. However, at that time, 1 million Arab people lived in the region. The Arabs there were not an organized country. It was not called the country of Palestine. It was simply a scattering of Arab towns. Well, this created a problem. How can you give Israel a land that is occupied by someone else? Some whose families have lived on this land for hundreds of years. Now, it's easy to say that the Jews deserve a homeland and Israel belongs to the Jews, but what do you do about the indigenous population that lives there? And to make matters worse, that population is Muslim. And their theology teaches that the land belongs to them, the sons of Ishmael, and not to the Jews. Now, the original piece of land given to the Jews by the UN in 1948 excluded the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. That land was to be for the Arab people of the region. But then came the 1967 war. Egypt, Jordan, Syria attacked Israel in order to put an end to the state of Israel. And many of the Arabs in the West Bank and in the Gaza Strip joined in the war against Israel. Israel won, and occupied the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. So now Israel occupies these two regions. And the Palestinians claim that Israel should stop the occupation and the Palestinians should be allowed to create their own state. Israel says no. Supporters of Israel in the West say no. The West Bank is the heart of Israel, the land that historically belongs to the Jews. And allowing the Arabs to create a country in Israel proper is dangerous, especially an Islamic country that sees its mission as the complete destruction of Israel. So there's been a stalemate for the last 50 years. Israel has also built Jewish settlements in the West Bank, which further angers the Palestinians. And because of all the Palestinian terrorism against the Jews, Israel has built walls to separate the Jewish communities from the Palestinian communities. And these walls are also a source of contention for the Palestinians. Now, in 2005, Israel withdrew from Gaza and dismantled some Jewish settlements there. It was way too taxing on Israel to police that area, since it was a hotbed of anti-Israeli terrorists, such as Hamas. So the best solution for Israel was to leave the Gaza area and build a wall between Israel and Gaza, and let the people in Gaza manage themselves. Now, Israel still occupies and controls the West Bank. Now, there are two political groups among the Palestinian Arabs, the Fatah Party and the Hamas Party. Fatah used to be called the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization founded by Yasser Arafat. Hamas was founded in 1987, an offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood. Hamas is the slightly more fundamental Islamic movement like ISIS. Their goal is to replace Israel with an Islamic state. In 1993, in the Oslo Accords, the UN allowed for and funded the creation of the Palestinian Authority, the PA. And that was a body to govern the Palestinians in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. And the PA contains both parties, Hamas and Fatah. In the 2006 parliamentary elections of the PA, the Palestinians gave the majority in the Palestinian parliament to Hamas. This split the PA, so that Hamas took control of the Gaza Strip, and the Fatah party took control of the West Bank. Fatah on the West Bank now calls itself the State of Palestine. Now, with Hamas taking over the Gaza Strip, the United States would continue to give aid to the PA in the West Bank, but would no longer give aid to the Hamas branch of the Palestinian government on the Gaza Strip, because Hamas is listed as a terrorist group. But nevertheless, Hamas still gets money from the PA. Then in April of 2011, Hamas and Fatah announced that both parties had reached an initial deal to unify into one government. And since that time, they've been trying to create a unity government. So that's a short summation. The bottom line is that the problem for Israel is that it has come back to a land that was occupied by Arabs. And this has put Israel into a political pressure cooker. You know, God could have caused the land to be unoccupied in 1948, and it would have been very easy for Israel to occupy a vacant piece of real estate. But no, in the providence of God, Arab Islamists occupied the territory. And these Arabs have been demanding their land back in a prolonged war against Israel. There are 2.2 million Arabs in the West Bank, 1.6 million Arabs in Gaza. Now, I originally wanted to do a program about Hamas and how the UN and America is prolonging the conflict by sending billions to the Palestinian Authority. Hamas has 43,000 people on its payroll. That's how they control the people. And where do you think Hamas and Fatah get their money? It's from international aid. The whole region is a welfare state. Palestinians are the largest per capita recipients of international development assistance in the entire world. The PA receives between $2 to $3 billion per year in international aid. 22% of Palestinians work in the PA's public sector. And if you include the families, that's about 750,000 Palestinians who live off the PA and its international aid. Now, this gives Hamas and Fatah plenty of money to give out to the public to maintain power. And the UN has kept many unnatural governments in power around the world. Because without the UN money, people would take much different, much more practical courses of action for their own well-being. If international aid stopped flowing tomorrow, the Palestinians in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip would disperse into other countries. They would migrate to Egypt, to Syria, to Jordan, to Saudi Arabia. But they won't as long as there is free money keeping them there. But today I'd like to discuss something far more fundamental: the rightness or the wrongness of the Palestinian cause. That must first be determined before one can have any opinion on the rightness or the wrongness of international aid keeping the Palestinian cause alive. And this is a theological issue. And so therefore you and I should understand this theology if we're to be discerning, knowledgeable Christians. Now, many Christians believe on the basis of Scripture that the land called Palestine belongs to the Jews. It belongs to the Jews by a historic right. It belongs to the Jews by the moral position that a people group should have a homeland. And it belongs to the Jews by a divine right, by the terms of the Abrahamic covenant that God made with Israel. Genesis 13, the Lord said to Abraham, "Now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which you see, I will give it to you and your descendants forever." Now I'll discuss the meaning of these Abrahamic covenant verses in a moment. But the bottom line is that the Christians in America have generally felt that we should support the Jews in the reestablishment of their homeland, even over the claims of the Arabs who live in the land. The Arab Muslims have a homeland. It's called Syria. It's called Jordan. It's called Saudi Arabia. All the Jews are asking for is a measly 10,000 square miles, 1/650th of the Arab lands. Surely we can find a homeland for the Arab Palestinians somewhere outside Israel proper. So over the last 50 years, Christians in America, what is often called the evangelical right, have been cheerleaders for the Israeli cause. And this has affected America's foreign policy. America has been Israel's greatest friend because of the Christian consensus in America. And I generally believe that this has been part of God's prophetic, providential plan to bring Israel back into the land. Zechariah 10, "I will whistle for them to gather them together, for I have redeemed them, and they will be as numerous as they were before when I scattered them among the peoples. They will remember me in far countries, and they with their children will live and come back." But there is a new anti-Israel, anti-Zionist movement in evangelical churches in America, which is opposed to evangelical support for Israel. And this is quite alarming. It's a very convincing movement. It sounds very biblical, but it is a very one-sided ideology that opposes the Israeli state. And it's being advanced by theological liberal evangelicals who often mock biblical prophecy as futuristic nonsense. And this movement is being advanced by non-Christian, anti-Jewish groups who are working a strategy to drive a wedge between the Christian community in America and the state of Israel. They are behind these programs coming into evangelical circles. These programs, these seminars talk about loving all people, including the Palestinians, but they're not fully revealing that they are anti-Israel. Well, here's the issue in a nutshell. This is a piece from a group called the Jerusalem Center for Public Affairs. Quote, despite this support for Israel, there is an unmistakable sign that anti-Israeli activism is gaining traction within evangelical Protestantism in the United States, particularly in the megachurch segment. Coalition of super secessionist theologians, liberal activists, and Palestinian Christians is reaching out with increasing effectiveness to young adults who have become disaffected from the evangelical community into which they are born. As a result, the institutions of American evangelicalism, like mainline Protestantism before it, are becoming persistent and vocal sources of anti-Israel messaging on the American scene. This unmistakable increase in anti-Zionist activism is taking place against the backdrop of demographics and ideological shifts in American evangelicalism. Older evangelicals who are alive during the Holocaust or who were witness to Israel's creation in 1948 and the Arab efforts to destroy the Jewish state in 1967 and 1973 are dying off and being replaced by a younger generation of churchgoers who lack firsthand knowledge of this history and who, as a result, are willing to give sympathetic hearing to anti-Israel narratives, no matter how distorted. With these demographic changes, is the embarrassment over evangelicalism's reputation for its affiliation with the American right. As a result, the U.S. evangelical community is shifting to the center from its traditional place on the political and theological right. David Brog, executive director of Christians United for Israel, offered this warning to Jim Fletcher, a journalist who had documented the growth of anti-Zionism in the evangelical community. Anti-Israeli activities are making surprising inroads into the evangelical community, especially among the millennial generation. They are telling lies about Israel, but their lies are hitting the right moral notes and they're making progress. We ignore them at our peril. In sum, American evangelicalism is no longer the bulwark of support for Israel it once was. Unquote. Now, I know that was long to read, but that article quickly and clearly summed up the situation. Now, here are the anti-Zionist groups. Evangelicals for Mideast Understanding. Sabeel, which is an ecumenical center in Jerusalem for Palestine Liberation Theology. There's the American branch, FASNA, Friends of Sabeel North America. There is the Sojourner Organization. There is Caros USA, which is now named Telos. That is a foundation funded by the Jewish atheist George Soros. And Telos works to support Arab interests in Israel and to undermine support for Israel in the Christian community. Then there are two major anti-Israeli films that came out in 2010 that have swept through evangelical churches. First, With God on Our Side by Porter Speakman. And the second, Christ at the Checkpoint, put out by the Bethlehem Bible College in Israel. And with that film, Christ at the Checkpoint, conferences are being held for evangelicals throughout America to try to convince American evangelicals to support the Palestinian cause against Israel. There is even a Christ at the Checkpoint manifesto, which states that any exclusive claim to land of the Bible in the name of God is not in line with the teachings of Scripture. Now, there's also the Israeli apartheid movement being promoted on college campuses. And the goal of that program is to associate Zionism with racism, just like in South Africa, where there is a divide between the whites and the blacks. The Israeli apartheid movement claims that Israel is dividing people according to race and religion in its attempt to build a Jewish state. And as the anti-apartheid movement brought down South Africa, so the plan is to bring down Israel with the same accusations of racism and bigotry. From here, I need to explain the details of this anti-Zionism theology. It comes on two levels. The compassion argument for your average evangelical, and the deeper theological argument concerning land rights for those evangelicals who need a deeper theological basis for being pro-Palestinian. The compassion argument goes like this. Zionism, the support for the Jewish state, is racist because it emphasizes Jewish elitism over the Palestinians. Zionism is terrorism. Palestinian Arabs are victims of Israeli oppression. And because of evangelical theology, 3 million Palestinians are under military occupation. Furthermore, the Jews are violating human rights by taking other people's land. And what Israel has done is ethnic cleansing, a violation of UN law, which according to the UN is to divide up land according to race or religion. These seminars go on to teach that Christian Zionism does not have a moral foundation in Christianity. We are to love our neighbor, all of our neighbors, not just the Jews. And so we should never let eschatology determine how we treat others. We are supposed to use the lens of biblical justice and not the lens of Bible prophecy in determining right from wrong. And we should not limit who is our neighbor to just the state of Israel. And in these conferences, Christians are challenged. How could churches in America support the Jews building settlements on the West Bank upon land that belongs to somebody else? And for the church to come to the aid of Israel is like the Dutch Reformed Church supporting apartheid in South Africa. Porter Speakman, in his tour, says that it is incredulous that Christians would justify on theological grounds the theft of land, the demolition of homes, the destruction of property, the creation of ghettos, and the denial of fundamental human rights in order to create what is increasingly becoming the racist Jewish state. So those are the arguments in the evangelical anti-Zionism movement. This is fashionable. This is the cool position. It's a position that's catching fire among millennials in some popular left-leaning evangelical churches. But is it right? Who are the bad guys? Israel or the Palestinian Muslims? Who started the Six-Day War and the war in 1973? Who committed acts of terrorism forcing Israel to wall itself off from Arab lands? And do Arabs in Gaza and in the West Bank represent all Arabs in the region? Israel has given Israeli citizenship to over 500,000 Arabs. And many of them are happy to be citizens of Israel. Many Christian Arabs don't want an Arab state because they know that Islam will give them less freedom of religion than they currently enjoy in Israel. I see that I'm out of time. Next week, I'll pick up this subject again, and I will answer the arguments coming from the anti-Zionist movement. I hate to end a program without a biblical rebuttal, but it gives you something to think about this week. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. As always, you can listen to this program again or other past programs at our website, godandcountryradio.org. There you can send me an email. Let me know what you think of the anti-Zionist movement. I appreciate your insights. That's godandcountryradio.org. I trust that you will tune in next week. And if God so leads, consider making God and Country a regular part of your weekly discipleship. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, the battle between the truth and the lie is often overwhelming. So often we don't know which way to go. But may your Spirit guide us into all truth. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.